Tonight, for a few minutes, I want to talk about a particular circumstance in the Bible that a lot of us in today's day are facing. To give you a little background of where this is in the Bible, David had begun his journey to ascend to be king. But how many of us know that before we ever get to a crown, that there are many things that we have to do to prove ourselves? Before we ever get to that blessing, ever get to the next step, there's going to be some battles that we've got to go through just to take care of daily life. And oftentimes we'll get weary and begin to wonder where God is and all of that. If you were wondering where God's direction is for your life, God brought this word for you tonight. How many of us know we're begotten by the word of God? How many of us know that it's what we need in our life? And sometimes it might sound hard, and sometimes you might not be able to stand me, but I want you to know that, hallelujah, don't shoot the messenger, but look inside your heart and know that God is God, and that he loves you enough to lead you and guide you and direct you. David was between a rock and a hard place here. When you get into the 30th chapter of 1 Samuel, word it came that a battle was beginning to come to pass against Israel. And David had assembled his army, those that were able to fight well, the men of war, and they went to go battle the Philistines. And how many of us know that sometimes we're in the middle of one fight, and while we're not looking, things just get destroyed behind us? When we think that everything's okay in a certain area of our lives, then something begins to fall apart that absolutely breaks us apart from the inside. And hallelujah, this is where they were. They finished that battle and had to make a 60-mile walk. Raise your hand if you've walked a mile this week. Some of us may have, some of us may not have. But just imagine going 60 miles after a battle. Imagine going 60 miles journey on foot after you've given it all that you have. You would expect in a victory that you'd be carried all the way to the spoils. But imagine going 60 miles journey to find the very place that you dwelled destroyed. Imagine everything that you had destroyed. This is what David came back to. He came back to a place where the wives were taken captive, and the children that they bore were taken, and everything that they had that was valuable was taken, and everything that they couldn't pick up and take with them, every house, every shack, everything that they built by hand had been burned to the ground. Now I want us to imagine that sometimes in our life we feel like that everything is gone. Oh, I'm preaching to somebody. Oh, I thank you, Lord. We feel like everything has already been destroyed. But how many of us know that this was just a stepping stone to the crown? How many of us know that he had to go through battles and he had to be proven in God's eyes before he was able to receive the blessing for his life? I'm preaching to some of us that's went through that first battle, turned around and made the journey back, only to see everything that we had held dear destroyed. Picture this tonight. Mighty men of war, people that they esteem greatly because they could fight the battle, come back to nothing. They don't have anything. And I know that this is not going to be popular. I knew this when God gave it to me. But how many of us know that we have outside enemies or those that are intentionally trying to come against us? But David come into a new kind of enemy. He began to have division in the ranks of those that he had fought alongside with. Can you imagine them in a battle where David was beginning to strike someone and somebody saw that they was coming to his back and they saved his life in the battle? I could just see things like that happening all the time. But church, I want you to know that sometimes when we're in trials, there's a new kind of enemy that'll rise up. It'll be people you never expected to say anything. It'll be people that'll come against you in ways you never expected. And even when the time that you feel like that you have nothing, I'm preaching to some people tonight. I want you to know that I've been there before, and I've stood in the ruin of everything that had been destroyed. And when I thought that people would have my back and begin to help me and pick me up and help me to rebuild, they begin to talk to David in this manner and said, you were the one that brought us. us to this dwelling place. If you read back in the 26th chapter, he had said we need to dwell in Ziklag here for a while, and it wasn't very long that they stayed. But how many of us know when the first thing goes wrong in your life, everybody's wanting to blame somebody else for what's going on? Hallelujah. And when a church begins to decline, they begin to blame the people that are trying to set it in order and to continue the work of God. But let me tell you something. Everybody had to come back and see it in ruin. Everybody had to come back and see it destroyed. But here's the part that's got me encouraged tonight. Here's the part that I see past all the enemy's tactics. Even in the midst of fighting, and even in the midst of walking the 60 miles back, and even after beholding everything that was destroyed, there was something, church, that happened. Somebody say something happened. Something's going to happen for somebody in here. I feel it. Hallelujah. He got to this place and everybody had already spoke their piece and said, it's all your fault, David. You were the one that put us here. These raiders that came from the Amalekites had come and took everything we had. Hallelujah. But at the time, they had no idea who took it. They just knew it was gone. But in that moment, hear this. In that moment, it begins to read in the 6th verse, after everybody had said everything, something happened. David encouraged himself. David encouraged himself. David, looking at the ruins, encouraged himself. David, looking at his loved ones being taken captive, encouraged himself. Somebody help me preach tonight. He looked at everything that he had valued and saw it go to ruin, but something inside him began to click and realize that all the world's riches and all my loved ones, even when they're gone, don't mean a thing when it comes to rising up from it. The one thing that he had and the one thing that we need today when it's all ruined is to be able to have the joy of the Lord, to be able to have the ability to encourage yourself. Church, have you ever had anybody to come against you and you still stand up and give God praise? Oh, we don't want to be encouraged. You want to stay in the ruin, but God's saying it's time to encourage yourself. God don't want us dwelling in the ruin. The ruins and seeing it all destroyed is just a step. You see, I've been looking at my ruins for a long time, but then I saw how it was I was going to come out, and it wasn't working like a dog to be able to build up all that I had lost, and it wasn't going and trying to make it right with everybody that I had hurt. But I began to be encouraged to know that at the end of the day, it's me and God. At the end of the day, when all would say, Jared, you're crazy, I know I've still got God. God. Hallelujah. And I'm encouraged to know that in the midst of ruin, that's not where it ends. People come against you when you preach, that's not where it ends. People don't come together in a church service, that doesn't stop God. That doesn't stop the move of God. Hallelujah. So he began to encourage himself. And in verse 8, he begins to say, should we go? So not only did he have the strength to be encouraged, even when he lost it all, but then he began to have something else inside of him. Hallelujah. He began to have a little bit of fight that was left down in his heart. He was ready to go after what the enemy had taken. He didn't know where he went, and he didn't know where he was at, but hallelujah, his heart was determined. And church, if you're ever going to go a month, 2 months, 3 months with the joy of the Lord, you're going to have to be determined, even when everybody leaves you behind. I'm preaching to some people in here. You feel like you've been left behind. Feel like nobody understands. Feel like everybody's come against you, not gave you a chance, not gave you a shot, not gave you the time. But God is still God. Woo! And has come to encourage you. So they went on. He scrapped up everybody that he could find, which was about 600 people. And they marched on. How many of you know that at this point he didn't know where they were? But what did he do? He stepped out in faith. He didn't know where he was going. Let me break this down a little more. You may not get everybody praising God when you offer yourself. Hear this tonight. And everybody may not be with you when you're feeling it. But when you step out and be determined, that's what moves God. It may not move everybody around you. I'm here to preach to everybody that sits around everybody anyway. You see, the 600 went on, and they came to a brook. Say a brook. They came to a brook. And how refreshing it was after walking all that time and seeing everything in ruin and having to breathe the ashes of what was destroyed. They came to a brook. When I hear and read of that brook, that's the first time that they're presented the opportunity to rest. Amen. They came to this brook. There were 600 that got there. 600 of them that got there. And David was there with them. In church, I've been here before too. 200 of those men were so weary from the battle that they could not go on anymore. Now you see, David didn't rebuke them for being weary. David didn't stop his resolve for people that began to say, I can't go on. And tonight, when it comes to how you worship, and when it comes to how you preach, and when it comes down to how you sing, there are going to be people that are weary around you. There's going to be people that are lost around you. There's going to be people that need a touch from God. And I want to remind us to not rebuke people because they're weary, but be reminded that the fight must continue. You see, when the 400 marched on away from those that had fell weary at the brook, they were fighting for everybody's goods. And they were fighting for all of the wives and children. And they were fighting for all of the possessions. So tonight, if you're not able to praise Him, I want you to know that it's okay. Because sometimes we get weary. But I'm here tonight to give Him praise. Because I know that in weariness, that God is our strength. And He's our best friend. And He's one that understands. Hallelujah. The 400 began to march on. And they went to battle, as the Bible reads, against thousands. Not just hundreds. It said hundreds and thousands. So I know that there was a great number that by our standards of war and battle would never have been successful. But hallelujah. You may not have what you think you need to finish the journey. And you may not feel like that you should be where you are in life. But if any time you step out for Him, God will equip you to put every enemy on the run, and He'll cause you to walk in victory. Hallelujah. Some of us may be at the beginning, or some of us may be in the ruins tonight, or some of us may have got weary at the brook, but God is preaching to all of us to let us know that it's all a part of the process to be able to reach the crown. I'm going to finish this race with gladness, whether anybody gets in with me or not. And if you're waiting on somebody to praise God with you, then you're missing the chance to be encouraged. When somebody praises Him and you get up and start praising God, it's not the same as if you got up for yourself. Everybody was wondering why churches are quiet nowadays, why people have lost their joy. Uh-oh. Everybody's wondering why the ministers are missing the Word of God. And everybody's wondering everything. But in weariness, you'll question everything around you. We've got to understand something tonight. That nobody can be determined for you like you can. Oh, and nobody can fight the battle better than when you are determined to fight. If you try to go after the devil without a zeal and a boldness in God's Spirit, I'm here to tell you that defeat is on the other side of that. But when we're determined to worship and to serve Him, people are begun to be drawn by what lives in you. See, there's other people in the ruin. There's other people that made that journey with you tonight. And there's church members that come all the time that even get weary. And not everybody's able to be strong all the time. It's the nature of our flesh. They went on to battle with 400 men. That's all they had. And they still came away victorious. Oh, and I'm happy to report that at the conclusion of this battle, they not only found their wives and found their children, they found everything that they had lost when it was all destroyed. And not only that, but they found the spoils of what the raiders had put away from other things. If you stay with a zeal and a determination to serve God boldly and step out in faith to do His work, when push comes to shove and the enemy thinks he has dominion over you, that dominion will falter and he will cease his reign upon you, and you'll come out with more than what you had when you started, and you'll have more strength than you did when you were back in the ruin. Church, tonight, if you can just rise up and encourage yourself and get determined to serve him regardless, you'll be able to come in with joy and you'll come in with some peace, and we'll be able to continue to be a church that's promoting God's will. So when we're weary, we've lost it all, God's still there. Hallelujah. When we're weary and we've lost it all, God's still there. This is not where the story ends. They got the spoils, and the 400 that had fought valiantly and made the whole journey began to get a little greedy. And those that were their allies in the first battle were now their enemies when it comes to the spoils. They begin to argue to David and say, more or less, they didn't fight. They shouldn't get what we fought for. They shouldn't get what we fought for. But how many of us know that David was a man after God's own heart? And David's heart, I believe this with all my heart, when they walked away from those at the brook, his heart was still there with them. Because they had lost people, just like the rest of them did. I'm preaching to somebody. They lost things just like everybody else. Hallelujah. I want you to know that I've been there in times when I looked around and said, well, God, where's my help? God, where's my friends at? God, why isn't the songs tonight blessing me? And those around me were seemingly praising God and blessed abundantly. But some special things began to happen. David began to have a heart that was after them. And he said that you're not going to keep all of these spoils because it belongs to them just as much as you. If you want another version of this story, consider the laborers that came in at the very last hour in the 11th hour. And you read about that, and the thing is, in principle, is that though you were not able to make it through the whole journey and got weary, but God still loves you anyway and still has an equal portion for you in your life. You may have been through some things that nobody would ever get to know, but God is still God for you, just like He was for the preacher, just like He was for a prophet. God is still God no matter who it is that's in this place. And He's here to bless you. He made a very statute that established from thenceforth in any battles that the spoil must be rightly divided amongst everyone. For everybody. Oh, I can't help this tonight. You see, God delivered me from drugs. And some of us may be praying for children that are on that tonight. But I'm happy to encourage you to know that God's portion for me is the same portion that they'll get as well. There are those that have not been saved for 20 and 30 years, but the portion for them is the same as the portion for somebody that was saved 20 or 30 years ago. Oh, I feel like praising him tonight. We're not getting a hold of this like we should be. Hallelujah. And you're going to be held accountable. You want a word of encouragement? Here it is. The same portion that's causing me to give God praise radically is the same portion that's here for you. Same portion that can give you encouragement. And it's time to stop sinning in the ruin. And it's time to stop being weary at the brook and get determined. Say, get determined. Hallelujah. Get determined to finish this battle. The portion that's upon this minister tonight is the same portion that can be upon you. The portion that's in anointed singing and you have a desire to sing and do more, same portion's there for you. Hallelujah. I thank your Lord. Hallelujah. But God's looking for some determined individuals that will push aside everything that they feel like they've lost. Hallelujah. The Word of God says it like this. What will it profit you if you gain everything and lose your soul? What are you going to profit, church, if you hang on to all your friends and you hang on to the hangouts and everything that you enjoy if you don't make heaven your home? We don't gain a thing, but to gain heaven, to gain Christ, hear this, is to lose it all. Oh, you getting a hold of that tonight? Oh, there's going to be some things you're going to lose, but it's for the purpose of you getting something. Oh, when I think about Jesus Christ and what it took for him to face that last battle, he came to the garden with a couple disciples, and he got there, and no doubt he was weary. And it was a tempting place. A garden is a relaxing environment. It's a tempting place to get weary and to fall away and to say, I'm done. I can't go on. But even Christ encouraged himself. Even Christ began to do a work right there. And the will of God was for him to continue. And when he worked on him, he rose up from there, even with the boldness and determination to say, could you not pray for an hour? But he loved them nonetheless. So here's the moral of the story tonight. There's going to be some of us that's weary, or some of us that's still feeling the loss. And there's some of us that's determined to push on. And there may be some of us that's upset because somebody's getting blessed more than somebody else. But God's still God for everybody, no matter what stage of life that you may be in. But this isn't where it ends. Saul was slain, and they came back and sent word to David that his life was lost. And a man had gathered all of Saul's belongings and brought it to where David was. David didn't have to go and hunt down Saul to find where the crown was. That crown came to David. And you would think that finally seeing the lordship and finally seeing the favor of God would have caused him to jump up and down and say, woohoo, I made it. But what happened? He was grieved with the loss of Saul. He was grieved to the point that it began to upset him. And he questioned the man that even brought the crown and said, how is it that you were bold enough to touch God's anointed? Oh, hallelujah. Who do you think you are to go after and touch God's anointed? Hallelujah. You may be determined, but I'm going to tell you to sing on. Hallelujah. And there may be people that don't enjoy the song, but sing on. There may be people that come against when you preach or how that you testify, but hallelujah, you got to testify on. You got to preach on, because you see, they're not fighting the battle for you. It's you that's fighting the battle. Hallelujah. And you may not see the spoil yet, but know that that crown is going to come for you. Oh, crown's coming, church. It's on its way. All you have to do is be determined to say, God, I'm trusting in you with my life. Some of us are seeking the next chapter of our life, but you've got to set your eyes to God. You see, when they were on their way to destroy the Amalekites, there just happened to be an Egyptian man along the way who happened to know the location of the enemy. That man was hungry, and it went 3 days without food. He was thrown away because they did not want to deal with somebody that was sick. And what did David have to do? He began to feed him, and he began to give him water and begin to show him love. And not only that, when this man, knowing that he had been an enemy in the past, said, I'll give you what you're looking for. Or in other words, I'll tell you where they are if you'll take me in and swear that you won't kill me. Now, I know that some of us, it's very hard to be forgiving and loving for those that have come against us, let alone being able to feed them from our own portion. But people are looking for what the church needs to be doing today. And they're looking way beyond the little Egyptian man that's along the journey. There's people tonight that's hungry in this place here at 13th Street right now. We don't have to go any further. There's people that are hungry for something more. And what is it that you can begin to give them that'll help them grow? It's love. To feed them is to give them the Word of God. To give them water is to refresh their spirit by what lives in you. Oh, and it doesn't matter how many days' journey that we've been afar off or how weary that we've been, but God will supply the need according to His riches in glory. And He will take care of you no matter where you are in life. You may have been the one that come against somebody, but there is still a blessing for you as long as the love of God is moving in a place. So tonight in closing, I just want you to know, from one human being that goes through real things to another, that I'm encouraged. I'm encouraged. And I'm determined to make it. Oh, I'm determined to go on. Amen. There's a song that says, I am determined to hold out to the end. Jesus is with me. On Him I can depend. For I know I have salvation. I feel it in my soul. And I am determined to hold out to the end. Sing it with me. I am determined to hold out to the end. Jesus is with me. On Him, salvation. I feel it in my soul. I am determined to hold out to the end. And I want you to know that you are not without, and that God has sent this word for you tonight.